The Junie B. Jones books all begin the same way. Lucy and I've both memorized it. I know the words that should be on this page, but I don't see them. I see B stands for I, just years old. I try to think of what else I've read since my accident. The hospital meal menus and the CNN scroll, I haven't had a problem with either. Then again, the menus have seemed rather limited, and the scroll appears one word at a time from the bottom right. I look up at Bob, and he sees me realizing for the first time that I can't really read. Charlie? Oh my God, where's Charlie? I ask, transferring my panic, imagining that he's left the room and is wandering the hospital. Relax, he's right here, says Bob. Charlie, come back over. But Charlie doesn't come. Mommy, read, says Lucy. You know what, Goose? I'm too tired to read tonight. I hear water running in the bathroom. Bud, what are you doing? Come here, says Bob. I'll get him, says my mother, startling me. I forgot she was here. Charlie runs full throttle into one of the chairs, climbs it, and starts banging on the window with his open hands. Hey, hey, that's enough, says Bob. He stops for a few seconds, but then he either forgets that Bob told him to stop, or he can't resist some overwhelming urge in his body to slap glass, and he starts banging the window again. Hey, says Bob, louder than a few seconds ago. Hey, Charlie, you know what that is out there? That's a jail, I say. He stops. Really? Uh-huh. It's a real jail? It's a real jail. Are there real bad guys in it? Oh, yeah, it's full of them. Cool, he says, and I swear I can hear the lid pop clear off the container to his imagination. He presses his nose against the glass. What kind of bad guys? I don't know. What did they do? I'm not sure. How did they get caught? Who caught them? I don't... You live next to bad guys? Asks Lucy, nuzzling her face into my chest and clutching my shirt with her hands. I don't live here, Goose, I say. Do they try to escape? Who catches them? Asks Charlie. The volume of his voice has been dialing up with each question so that he's practically yelling now. Linus whimpers and sucks his nookie. Shh, I say, scolding Charlie. Shh, Bob says, soothing Linus. How about if I take Charlie and Lucy down to Dunkin' Donuts for a few minutes? Asks my mother. That's exactly what Charlie needs at bedtime, sugar. That'd be great, says Bob. Donuts! Yell Charlie and Lucy, and Linus whimpers again. Shh, I say to everyone. Charlie and Lucy scurry down off the chair and my bed and follow my mother out of the room like rats on the heels of the Pied Piper. Even after the door closes, I can still hear Charlie barraging my mother with excited questions about criminals as they make their way down the hallway to the elevators. And then it is quiet. How's work? I ask, avoiding the terrifying topic of my apparent illiteracy. Still surviving? Good. And the kids seem okay? Yup. Abby and your mother are keeping them in their routine. Good. Bob's keeping afloat at his sinking company. The kids are managing without me, and I'm recovering from a traumatic brain injury. So we're all surviving. Good. But I want so much more. I need so much more. We all do. You need to get better. You need to get out of here. You need to go home. I want to go skiing. Okay, Bob says, agreeing way too easily, as if I just said I wanted a glass of water or a tissue. This season, I say. Okay. But what if I can't? You will. But what if I still have this left neglect? You won't. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's getting any better. What if this never goes away? I ask. Surprised that I've allowed this question a voice outside of my own fleece-covered head. I don't know what I expect Bob to say to this, but I start crying, suddenly terrified that a plain and honest answer could forever change the course of our lives. Let me in, he says. He wedges himself into the space between me and the bed rail and lies on his side, facing me, It feels good to feel him next to me. Is it possible that your brain will heal and the neglect will go away? He asks.
Yes, it's possible, I say, still crying. But it's also possible that...
Then you'll get better. If something's possible, Sarah, it doesn't matter what it is. I have complete faith that you can do it. I should thank my lucky stars for Bob, and I should tell him that I love him for giving me this unconditional vote of confidence, but instead, I choose to argue with him.
Yeah, but I don't know how to do this. This isn't like getting all A's, or getting the job I want, or meeting a deadline. This isn't, do these 10 things and your brain will be back to normal.
The more therapy I have, the more I realize that this is not a math equation. No one will give me any guarantees. I might get better, and I might not. The therapy might help, and it might not. I can work as hard as I've always worked at everything I've ever done, and it might not be any more effective than just lying here and praying. I've been doing both. I know a lot of this isn't in your control, but some of it is. Do the therapy. Be positive. Use that competitive spirit I love. Think about it. Some people recover from this. You're gonna let them beat you? No way. Okay, now he's hitting me where I live. I wipe my eyes. The goal isn't to get better. The goal is to win. I know how to do that. Bob and I are cut from the same super competitive cloth. I swear we each have a couple of threads from one of God's athletic jerseys sewn right into our DNA. In pretty much every facet of our lives, we love any opportunity to compete. Our first real flirtation involved a bet to see who could get the better grade in finance. He did, and then he asked me out. We vied for the title of person with the highest paying job out of B school. I won that one. When Charlie and Lucy were both in car seats, we used to race to see who could finish buckling first. When we play catch, we don't just throw the ball back and forth, we keep score. And the only thing better than skiing down to the base of Mount Cortland with Bob is racing him there. And what does the winner get? The winner wins. This is exactly the pep talk I needed. I believe in you, Sarah. You're going to get better, and you're going to come home, and you're going back to work, and we'll go skiing this winter. He sounds like the laundry list announcer in my head, but much nicer. Thank you, Bob. I can do this. I'm going to beat this. There you go. Thanks. I needed this. Anytime, he says, and kisses me. I need you, I say. I need you too, he says, and kisses me again. As we lie in my hospital bed together, waiting for the kids to come back with their bedtime donuts, I'm feeling wholeheartedly optimistic. I'm definitely going to conquer this. But when I try to visualize the this I'm competing against, the injured neurons, inflammation, the absence of left, the other people with left neglect vying for the same place in the winner's circle, the only image I see with any clarity is me.